Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody.
Podcast Truthy.
Back again.
This week on Podcast Truthy, culture appropriation in Hollywood, hip hop star Bad Baby serves as a controversial darker makeup video. Does she purposely try to look more African American? Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders drops out of the Democratic race. Is former President Barack Obama to blame? Plus, trans activist and founder of Modesty from Trans United. Dana Stanley joins us with some information on how you can get a free dinner delivered straight to your door this Easter Sunday. All this and more today on Podcast Truthy.
Thanks, Sarah.
Girl, it's about
to be artist spotlight.
If I had one night,
DJ Mitchell, One Night, featuring Lexi Still and Lily Gill.
I might have the world, but I will trade it all for your love. It'll be all right. You'll make it home tonight. Stay with me just because I live my whole life for your love.
Let's go!
Lexi and Lily.
If I had one night, make everything all right, I might pass the world, but I would trade it all for your love. It'll be all right. You'll make it home tonight.
I just fine.
Stay with
me. DJ Mitchell, One Night.
Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, and we are live. Welcome to Podcast True Tea, where we are generous with the portions. Today is Thursday, April the 16th, and I'm your moderator, Naheem, joined by my devilish co-hostess who shared the most. Join me in welcoming Deslanian, Demi, Colby, and Daylin Michael. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What's
y'all
up, everybody?
All right, so the song I heard at the top of the podcast is by a local Pittsburgh-based artist named DJ Mitchell featuring Lexi Steele and Lily Gilly, titled One Night. You can pop that and support him on all streaming platforms, that is iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, everything. He's everywhere. Definitely a dope artist, and we'll be actually talking to DJ Mitchell a little later on in the season as well. But, yeah, back to my co-host. How's everybody feeling? We've been locked up for, like, what, 4 weeks now? I'm losing count.
Oh, my God. I've been locked down. I'm running out of food and snacks. I don't have no more liquor left. The quarantine is killing me, girl.
Seriously. I cannot take it anymore. This is just too much. I'm ready to have the option of going outside to ignore everybody.
To be honest with y'all, I just want to go out to eat. I just want to go out to eat, have me a margarita and some salmon. Like, girl.
Like, I would appreciate to just go grocery shopping and actually find the items I'm looking for, you know? Like,
I need to be around some Butch Queens, no shade. I need to be around the girls, the voguing, the Butch Queens, the drama. I need all of that.
Girl, you just can't invite the girls over.
Quarantine for a reason.
Oh, 6 feet, please.
All right, y'all. Well, we got a lot of tea to get to. We're going to go ahead and transition into our first segment of the evening that we call the Tea. All right, y'all, so we got a hefty docket. I know there's lots of tea. I honestly don't even know where to start. But I'm kind of overwhelmed right now because as of maybe like an hour ago, our president, Donald Trump, unveiled a three-phase plan for states to reopen amidst the coronavirus pandemic that can actually go in effect possibly tomorrow. I don't even know
how
to feel about this right now. Yes, this literally just happened. He has a three-phase plan for states to reopen amid the coronavirus. Now, with this, Trump is calling for recommendations for, he calls it, the next front in our war, which is called the reopening of America again. He said this is a strategy based on the hard, verifiable data and benchmarks that has been each phase or must be met each phase to continue onward. Now, under the first phase of the three-phase plan, restaurants, movie theaters, and large sporting venues would be appropriate to reopen under certain conditions, while schools, daycares, and bars would not. That's a lot to take in.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yes.
Do you all find it interesting that all these Republicans want people to come back to work right after they found out that more black people were dying from this?
Yes.
I do find it interesting, but it's like you just can't trust anything. But the only thing you can trust is that they want us to die. They want us to die for this economy, and I feel like it is ridiculous. These rich folks are gagging that poor people are not at work, and they need us to go back to work to keep it going.
You know what's scary? Mm-hmm. Is a million citizens die or let the economy die and go on recession. We could lose a million citizens. It doesn't matter. That's what's killing us.
America is just capitalism. It is the economy, and that's why they feel like if the economy dies, America will die. And they'd rather people die than America dying. And they're like literally on TV saying, yeah, I'll sacrifice my life if it's going to save the country that I love.
So
we are not the best country out there anymore. We are not the best country out there anymore. I'm looking at a lot of different things. China has these like garbage truck things where they drive through the street sanitizing things, sanitizing bus stops. They've got these little tents where the police go in and they get sprayed and sanitized. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing all different precautions that I'm not seeing happening in America. And they keep promising all these corona tests, but they're not readily available to the people that need them. I think that we're very blessed in Pittsburgh, but as I talk to my friends in other major states, it's not happening how it's happening here.
Mm-hmm. No shade. And wasn't there even some announcement earlier today, I believe, that the funding for small businesses and nonprofits is no longer available?
Yeah, they ran out of money.
Yeah. And then they think this check will last us for 10 weeks. For 10 weeks,
yeah.
$1,200 for 10 weeks.
Yeah, my rate's only $10, right?
It gives people $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Regardless,
crazy.
It's all a scam to just buy more goods to stimulate the economy.
And this is the
they
thing.
Thought
I'm
it was only
going to
last.
Running around.
Until...
Oh, I'm sorry, Demi. Go ahead.
They thought it was only going to last until like May 1st, so they was only going to do 8 weeks. And then New York came out and said they're going to do until May 15th. And that's when I feel like they changed it to 10 weeks now.
Yeah, because they don't want to have to give out another check. And I'm tired of people going around saying Trump checks. These are not Trump checks. If y'all know anything, this is taxed money, and you're going to have to pay it back. There will be tax increases. The middle-class people are the ones who are taxed the most. This is not going to affect anybody but us later on. They're going to raise our taxes. They're going to get their money back from us. This is y'all running around saying Trump checks. These are Daylen checks, Dez checks, Cody checks. These are y'all are paying this money back. These are not Trump checks. Please stop giving the narrative
the whole,
that this man is doing us a favor.
No shade. And the whole shade about that thing is like they don't. Like, Trump wants it to be called a Trump because it's partisan, but his name is not supposed to be on these checks for that sole reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do people forget that Obama did loan forgiveness and stimulus checks when he was in office? People are running around really changing their minds, saying, oh, I don't want to be a Democrat anymore. I'm going to be a Republican because Donald Trump is sending out checks. Your vote is worth $1,200. If your vote is worth $1,200,
exactly.
I can only imagine what you're doing for 40. This is sad.
Exactly. He's sending out a check amongst a pandemic, whereas President Obama was doing it because that was his job. You know what I mean? Like, to make sure the people were
good.
You
got people out here spending $1,200 on toilet paper.
Exactly.
Seriously.
And
meat, clearly, because there ain't no meat at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Y'all need to go grocery shopping.
There ain't. There's Lunchables. There's fucking shit.
Y'all need to go grocery shopping in my neighborhood. In all seriousness, let me just say this because I know a lot of people are tuning in, and I really want people to be able to be smart when it comes to finding food resources. Do not go to Walmart to grocery shop during the pandemic. Everyone is going to Walmart. The food quality sucks right now, and they are not stocking the store properly. You guys need to be hitting up the Aldi's. You guys need to be hitting up the Giant Eagles in the different areas. I live in Bellevue. There's plenty of meats at my grocery store. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of produce over here. There's a Coons, a Giant Eagle, and an Aldi's over here. And the only thing that I'm having problems with stocking up on is cleaning products. Everything else, I have a good stock on in this area. So just do not, please avoid the Walmarts because that's where people are doing all their stockpiling, and I just don't have time.
No,
I can't find cereal or meat.
What? I have plenty of cereal. You need me to bring you some tomorrow?
I need cereal, bitch.
Oh, gosh. Well, from one chaotic moment to another, also on our docket, we have Black China allegedly went to Twitter this week and threatened to fight Khloe Kardashian for picking on her much smaller sister, Kourtney Kardashian. Have you all heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a little bit of it, but this bitch is crazy. She has so much news this week.
Literally. And every time Black China is in the news, it's for something dramatic, of course. Last week we talked about
her
quarantine
connections are probably her quarantine money is probably running out, and she needs a little bag, no. So she's going to get her a blog so that somebody can pay her for an interview. This is how these little hood rats work.
No shame. But it all started late last week. So I guess Khloe Kardashian decided to tweet that she would demolish Kourtney's ass based on the fact that she's 5'10" and Kourtney's only 5 foot in a good day, right? So even though it was just a joke and it probably could have just ended right there, Black China, I guess, went to Instagram and she posted something like, "So what about 5'2"? And that kind of opened the doors for all the trolls. So now everybody is kind of buzzing, assuming that Black China threw out some type of challenge to Khloe Kardashian, and I don't know, Twitter's going crazy about it. But if she did, who do y'all think would win? And do y'all even think that it was a challenge directed to Khloe Kardashian, or are people just doing too much?
One Black China.
China wins.
Wait a minute. Now. I live for Black China, but she can't move fast with all that silicone body. Y'all keep forgetting that Khloe Kardashian is O.J. Simpson's daughter. That big linebacker is going to take her out and stomp her the fuck out, period. Y'all don't sleep on Khloe. That bitch is an Escalade. Stop playing with her.
No, she is the largest Kardashian.
She could definitely fight for that family. But China's little ghetto ratchet fast climbing ducking ass, she got her.
So Rocky,
no shade.
But I guess she's still in a lawsuit with them because she said that they took her show away because they are upset about the whole Broad thing.
They did take her spinoff away, but technically it was E! Network who Kris Jenner owned stock in. It wasn't technically the Kardashian Incorporated group. So, like, she has a really hard lawsuit on her hands, but she's also receiving child support. Did you really think that you were going to be able to sustain a reality show under this family when you're sitting on the reality show dogging their brother and their son every single day on the show? You got your
but again,
like Kris Jenner. Yeah, like Jenner is a PR genius. She's not going to give you a platform to pay you to bash her family every day. Like, you need a new storyline other than Rob.
It's no shade. Did y'all hear that she is charging the girls so she can follow them on IG?
Yes.
Girls
to do like to do live videos, like $200 or something, right?
This bitch got installment plans. You can pay in 4 fees.
Get money, bitch.
You make it accessible for the people.
Who wants that
That's
clown face on
but
their
do you
phone?
Not does she only add you or like follow you or video chat you after you pay the full payment?
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does.
She also charges for advertisements. She advertises things for people on their motherfucking on her story on Instagram or whatever the case may be. But I mean, I don't blame her for that. Like, where does she make her money? Where does she don't have a show no more. Like, she's not, I don't think that she has millions of dollars. So it's like, girl, if selling hair and tummy tea is going to get you by, then, girl, let me get a pack of tea, girl.
And, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised at this point. She's a part of, like, a bleaching company that she claims she doesn't use the products, you know, but she promotes it to the people.
Who in the hell is going to pay for someone to follow them? She ain't even going to like your pictures.
Right.
It's weirdos out there that just want to run around and say, look who's following me on Instagram.
To make you feel cooler, take a screenshot and be like, oh my God, Black China followed me. You know,
everybody knows you pay $250, bitch.
Yeah, it's probably some privileged high school.
No shade. No shade. But also in news, I don't really have, I guess, a lot of backstory on this, but I saw Twitter was really buzzing that allegedly Jay-Z and Doja Cat had some sort of interaction, and people are going crazy thinking that Jay-Z's going to sign her.
This man needs to keep it the fuck cheap because he is not even out the doghouse yet, and he is already up here liking light-skinned bitches' pictures.
Doja Cat also used to be on Roc Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
And Roc Nation.
Go ahead, Demi.
Roc Nation didn't work out for her, so she moved to a new record label, and that's when she popped off and got really famous. And now Jay-Z's like her after all this time, and he don't like nobody. He don't follow nobody.
Yeah, that is so weird to me. It's so weird to me. But I don't know, but she was not the only one in it, but he liked her tweet because she was the only one in it who reshared the picture. So it's like, is it for Nicki or Megan? Because Megan's on his thing too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's crazy.
That's true.
But I love Doja. I love her too. But I do think it's funny when people like something and then they unlike it, especially when you're that big. Like, that is weird. That is weird.
It's given very much Swift Beats and Alicia Keys.
But I can say Beyonce like Kylie's thing about like 3 months back or whatever, and then she
That was probably
where is Solange? Bring out Solange.
Solange still don't got no fucking weird. Something's wrong with her.
Oh my god. I love Solange too.
Oh no. Okay, so wrapping up in our entertainment news, the last thing I know we want to touch based on was Bad Baby is currently being blasted for comparing growing up in the hood to Tarzan in the jungle, right? So I have a quote that I guess she, it's not even allegedly, she said that y'all say that I try to be black at Bad Baby. Maybe the reason that this is because I grew up in the hood. Tarzan, he grew up around bears in the jungle. He didn't know better. That's all he knows. When someone grows up in a certain area or a certain place, they're a part of that environment. How do y'all feel about that?
I feel like she needs to stay the fuck off social media. The bitch never learns her lesson. Like, girl, when you are a white woman who steals black culture and uses black woman antics to keep a career going, you have to be careful on what you say. Did y'all not learn when Paula Deen got packed up?
Paula Deen.
Black people to jungle animals, jungle people, monkeys, nothing like that. You will get canceled. You are done.
Seriously.
I think she is Paula Deen. I love Mrs. Paula Deen.
Me too, bitch. I live for her. Diabetes Dean. I live for her.
Diabetes Dean. Oh, man.
But I was about to say, like, I just think this girl is so bold to be saying this stuff. Somebody really needs to knock her. This is crazy.
She already
That's
got
how she
knocked
got
by the slow girl. What's that slow girl's name?
Long Face Vicky.
Long face Vicky.
Yes. She did, actually. Yes, there's a video of her getting, I guess it was a fight, but yeah, she definitely got handled. Wow.
But I think I just think people need to stop giving her all this life, but it is black folks' fault that she got to this point because they buy her shit, they like her shit, so we just need to stop.
Yeah, we got to
we
start reclaiming our power.
She be making bangers.
Exactly. Gucci flip-flops.
And on it that.
She does, but also she doesn't write her music, even though I guess neither does Cardi B. I mean, not many people write their music anymore, I guess, but she doesn't write her music. She's being handed something, and somebody is helping her to paint a picture of this image she wants to portray, you know, and ultimately the people who have the power, us, the consumers, are handing her our money to talk shit and bash us and look down on us and feel like she's better than us.
Now, one thing I don't agree with is, like, the whole term of how people say, like, she's handed a career and, like, the Kardashians are handed a career. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, to keep new content, to stay relevant in entertainment and social media. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of investment. For her to go on a show like Dr. Phil and to actually make her career out of it, like, that takes work. Regardless if she's low-talented, low-budget, and ugly, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to market yourself, to keep those followers up, to actually put out stuff that people are going to want to buy or want to play or want to have, you know what I mean, to keep money up. Like, this stuff, even with the entertainment business that we do, it's hard work to stay relevant. It really is. So for a girl like that, I know so many people that have been on Maury or Jerry Springer or Dr. Phil, and they ain't got shit but a plane ticket home. You know, it's kind of like doing cheap porn. How are you going to be able to sustain a career after doing that video?
No shade.
No shade.
I agree, but I also do feel like some of these folks have people behind them who are more hungry than they are, and they have been just waiting for that right dumb bitch, and they found her.
But to keep up with it.
Right. No shame.
You know?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like,
speaking of that, though.
Yeah.
This is, like, off, but so how do y'all feel? Do you feel that if artists don't write their own shit, that they don't have the right to be where they are?
Like, oh, you better not say
that. That's actually
what
we nothing.
Yeah, Michael, Whitney.
Yeah,
yeah, like, can we go back and forth to all of that? Like,
I think it just
Ariana. Where does that come from now? Like, where does that whole thing come from now where every artist, singer has to write?
No, I think it depends on what they're claiming, like what they're trying to have their claim to fame. Like Whitney Houston wasn't trying to have a claim to fame as being like the greatest songwriter. She wants to be the greatest singer. So that's what we look at her as, you know. But in the rap business where, I mean, originally back in the day, like, you know, you're supposed to write your own stuff. It's your poetry. It's your story. It's you. You know what I mean? So when you have somebody writing rap.
People have had ghostwriters for years. It's just now starting to get exposed because people want to ruin other people's careers because there's more money on the line now than what it was in the 90s. People didn't give a fuck if Foxy Brown wrote her raps in the 90s because she didn't. People didn't give a fuck if Lil' Kim wrote her shit back then. You know what I'm saying? Now that the music industry is so overwhelmed with so many rappers and so many, you know, people who are putting out content. What is going to be the thing that they hang on to about the artists that they love that they're going to promote? Well, Nicki's the richest rapper. Okay, she's the richest rapper, but she has 10 years in the game and Cardi B's only been out for 2. So I'm pretty sure in 10 years, Cardi B will have a run for Nicki's money because she needs time in the industry to make money. Okay, so they can't hold on to that. So now they're saying, oh, well, Nicki writes and Cardi doesn't. Okay. Yes, Nicki Minaj. So what if she writes? There has been a lot of songs on her out of her music catalog that have other writers listed than herself. And for a lot of other people as well. You know what I'm saying? I've seen on people's CDs where Lauryn Hill and other people have written for them. I don't give a fuck. If it's something that I want to listen to, something that I can bop to, something that I can relate to, and the delivery is on, I'm going to buy it. I don't give a fuck if her mother wrote it. If it sounds good and it gets me hype in the gym, it's being played. Period. And you got to, you know, they hold every artist, they hold every artist to a different standard in the music industry. And I don't like that. Whitney was the best singer of all time in my eyes. Mariah was the best songwriter as far as female artists of all time. Yes. Okay. When it comes to being a fashion icon and putting out a CD that lasted forever that is still trending today, that goes to Little Kim. Period. There's so when it comes to
Rihanna.
You what you thought I was gonna say? You thought I was gonna say Lauryn Hill?
No, bitch.
Because Lauryn Hill, with her one album that she put out, is similar success to Lil Kim's hardcore music. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like everyone is just held to a different. Yes, I just feel like everyone is held to a different standard in the game. Remy Ma, you cannot tell me that she's writing that bullshit. You cannot tell me that Foxy wrote a lot of that bullshit that she put out. I'm not trying to hear
how,
it.
You
Queen Latifah write that shit?
Because it's bullshit.
Yes, Missy Elliott has had ghostwriters, but one thing I can say about Missy Elliott is she has the best music videos out of any female rapper ever, period.
Ever.
So we just have to give people their dues on what they bring to the table and move forward.
Okay, I just feel like, bitch, if you claim to be an artist, don't get to a point where you have to steal art to be an artist. Like, and I just feel like some folks get to that point, and that's all.
Yeah. Well, y'all, I'm sorry to cut this short. I just want to keep it going. I know I just want to also remind everyone that we have a very special guest, Jay Yoder, joining us for a conversation about the current state of Pittsburgh LGBTQIA+ nonprofit sector. But I did want to just wrap up our weekly tea. Coley, I know that we wanted to touch bases and talk a little bit with the group about the three strains of COVID-19 that were recently announced in the news this week. I personally do not have as much backstory on it, but do any of you have any info?
Yeah, with the three strains just being I don't remember what they're calling them. The article I was reading was calling them A, B, and C, but I was also seeing people calling them strains L and S. It doesn't matter what you're calling the strain. It's important to know that, you know, there's not just one COVID-19 out there. Because a lot of people believe, like, okay, if you get it, you're done. You know, you're immune, and that's not been the case so far. So I don't want people to believe that, you know, like, okay, there's immunity, because right now no one has immunity. So to continue taking it seriously and to not – I know we keep hearing a lot about vaccines. We don't have a potential vaccine yet. We have a few glimmers of hope, but we're 18 months out from having an actual vaccine, even widely spread in the population. I know a lot of people are like, I'm not taking the vaccine. It's just like, my first thought is, you better hope you survive to get the vaccine, because right now it's not
like this. Oh, my gosh. 18 months?
And we still don't have, like you said earlier, we don't have adequate testing. So we can't know who has it, who had it before. Like, we don't know.
That is insane.
Wow.
And currently.
Can I just add something real quick about the COVID? You know how they were doing all the COVID testing to see if anyone tests positive for coronavirus? Well, now there's an antibody test that's available. It's going to be available at Central Outreach probably next week, where you can test to see if you've actually ever had it. Because if you've ever had it, you're more than likely not able to reinfect with it. So it can kind of put your mind and heart at ease on that. And you can also take that, get those results printed and use them for your job, especially if you also have had a corona test and tested negative for it. But I just think that it's so important that people take the antibody test to find out if they ever had it, because 9 times out of 10, you're good. You've cycled it out of your system already. A lot of people were sick like mid-January and had no idea what it was. Like, you know, it was pneumonia, flu, they got over it. 9 times out of 10, you probably could have had coronavirus already. So please ask your PCP and ask your doctors, ask your healthcare professionals if that antibody test is available at their office so that you can take it, so that you can, you know what I mean, so that you can just make sure that you stay up on your vitamin C and move forward with your day-to-day and stop being scary. You know what I'm saying? Because like the CDC said, if you've had this, you're less likely to spread it to others, which is a good thing because, you know what I mean, it flattens the curve. And two, you're less likely to recontract it. But go ahead, Naheem.
I have a different strain.
Come the fuck on, Central Outreach. Can I get a gag is for Central Outreach, Naheem?
Yes,
1 cent. But the gag is Central Outreach has the tax.
But the gag is.
Yeah, Central really is doing a lot. And it's so calming knowing that there is a central organization that does serve our community, you know, out there that is bringing resources to us, even with or without medical insurance. Like, that's just definitely this great thing. Like, very good, y'all. So we're going to go ahead and transition into our interview with our special guest, Jay Yoder. I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor over to Coley and Dez as we invite Jay onto the line. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of funky music. And... ta-da! Hello.
Hello.
The legendary Jay Yoder.
You know, we don't have to fully segue from Central because, oh my gosh, magical
sound effect.
You gotta
give your hand clap. Yeah.
That was fantastic. No, I was just going to pile on the Central love because after losing my last job, I was left unemployed, or uninsured, I mean, and so I've been getting my care there, and they've taken really good care of me, so... they just do a really good job for our community.
Definitely. They are freaking amazing. Freaking amazing. But that definitely leads us into actually what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
which is the state of queer nonprofits in Pittsburgh. And Coley and I worked with you for a little bit of time, I think about a year, maybe. Was
mm-hmm.
it about
yeah.
a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just about,
so,
yeah.
So, yes, and I know that I've personally seen you fight these systems within the nonprofit, and what personally drives you to fight these fights within that sector?
Oh, wow. So for me, I was raised in this tiny Christian sect with some really bad theology, so... I'm familiar with systems that have embedded racism, homophobia, sexism, and I don't know what it was. My dad would say I was just born with an internal sense of what's, like, fair and not fair, and I just have never been able to stand seeing people in positions of power abuse it. It just doesn't make any sense to my, like, moral code. So... I think the biggest thing that I see in nonprofits that activates that in me is people who are in positions of power because they want to have a certain reputation in our community for quote unquote doing good, right? But are not actually driven by trying to make sure every single person in all of our communities has access to whatever they need, cash, food, insurance,
right.
medical care, housing.
Definitely.
I just can't
definitely.
Stand it. There's just something inside me, you know? And I've had several directors try to mentor it out of me. and I say that with love. Some of them are really great people. You know, they're like, just bite your tongue this time. Just swallow it this time. And
mm-hmm.
there's just not really a time I can.
Same way. And weren't you involved with Roots Pride at some point as well?
Yes. Yeah. So I had just moved to Pittsburgh and I was, so my first experience with the queer community in Pittsburgh was I had just moved here. I saw that there was a memorial for a young trans man who had killed himself. And I went and it was really a diverse gathering and it was a really meaningful event. And I was like, oh, good. Okay. There, you know, all my people are here. And then afterwards, it just split straight up down racial lines. The white folks went somewhere
mm-hmm.
to eat together, and the black folks went somewhere to eat together. And I was like, oh, no.
I know. Like, it just turned into a whole thing.
Yeah. And so that was my first glimpse. And then when they hired Iggy Azalea to headline Pride, I started to see some activism, and I was like, these have to be my people. Because they, you know, they're the ones who, like, see that the people in positions of basically corporate leadership who want to get the most money out of corporations, the most money out of every single gay person they can, and who think that getting money out of gay and queer folks isn't enough, so let's attract the straight people, right? Then the point of Pride is about getting all that money, having a big reputation, throwing a big pride, and not about actually serving the needs of our community.
Right, right. Did you feel that, did you get involved with Roots Pride because you ran into these issues when you moved here, or was that just your whole goal, period?
No, so I moved from Columbus, and we always had a black block at Pride, which was, and they, you know, the organizing there has moved on since I was there, but it was a resistance to the corporatization and racism and Pride. And so that's kind of my crew in Columbus. And so that's what I was hoping and expecting to find here, and then was like, oh, we're a really segregated queer community here. And so I was hoping to find, like, that same group of people resisting the corporatization and racism in our community.
No shade. I definitely get that, and I understand that. Now, fast forwarding now, do you feel that seeing the state of queer Pittsburgh now, especially with all the stuff with Delta and all of these other organizations, do you feel that anything has come from Roots Pride or has significantly changed since then?
That's an interesting question. So
it's loaded, I know. I'm so
no,
sorry,
I mean,
you,
I have seen,
lot, but we got
do it, hit me. I think, so I don't think there has been, like, a moment of reckoning, but I think we have been watching, okay, let me say it this way. Someone asked me about some conflict in the community a few months back. And this was before, it was while I still had a job as a director at a nonprofit. They were like, why is this agency fighting or protesting this other agency? And my answer was, we are on the precipice of a generational leadership change in the queer community, and it's going to get uglier before it gets better. And like 2 weeks later, I was fired.
Oh, wow.
But seriously, that was the best explanation on what the fucktard was going on in Pittsburgh that I've heard so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
I,
honestly,
I,
like,
it
you
feels like
make
it.
Me, like, you make me so happy with how you put everything into a nice little package for everyone to understand and to get it. And it just frustrates me to see these people in power who just write it off, and it's just amazing that you still push through. So I really do love that about you. Just
well, thank
say.
You. Because yeah,
but,
there are
yes.
definitely moments I question myself, right? Like, I have these moments of maybe all these people who tried to mentor it out of me are right. Maybe we all just need to shut our mouths and play along. And then I'm like, and then what? I'll be, you know, in my, you know, I'll be at a point finally where I'm in a reach this position of leadership because I followed all the rules, and by that time it will be time for me to shut my mouth and let the next generation do what they're going to do. So, like, no, we have to do what we need to do right now. We can't, I don't know, shut our mouths and smile. I think the biggest thing I see over and over is just a refusal to realize that we don't have to operate in nonprofits anymore kind of trying to blend in. Hi, we're queer people who are just like you. We go to your events. We have relationships that look just like yours. We have houses that look just like yours. Please give us money to help make sure other young queer folks can learn how to look just like you and be just like you. We don't have to do that anymore.
Exactly.
Funders want to help us. There are plenty of funders out there who want to help us be who we are and not help us. You know,
not help us
be respectful.
Continue to be who they want us to be. Yes, yes.
Yes.
That's very interesting, but that's so back to, I mean, we don't have to get into any specifics if you don't want to, but the three of us have worked for a pretty interesting organization. This organization also has some ties to another organization that is very prolific in Pittsburgh. So my question to you is, how do you feel about the structures of boards in Pittsburgh and how workers should be on these boards more and how they need to be more checked? And what experience, if you want to indulge, have you had with that?
Yeah. So I'll give my disclaimer and then I'll try to be super frank about it. I am involved in an ongoing legal claim. And so I will measure some of my words because of that. But for the most part, I can say pretty frankly, the one of the jobs that I've had the longest and liked a lot was at an organization that actually has the word Christian in its title. And I will say at that organization, they had a staff representative on the board with voting rights. And they had, like, this organization was more deeply engaged in a socially just way, despite having some associations and affiliations that I did not like or didn't work for me, than a queer mental health organization. And that makes me really deeply sad because that is not what I would expect. The board, the way I think a board should operate, and not just me, that's silly. The best practice, if you read any book about nonprofits, any, you know, recent book about nonprofits, will say you should have people represented from your programs. You should have diversity in race, class, gender, age, sexuality, and you should have diversity of opinion and like culture and functioning. You should have a board where people have animated discussions and disagree about things. If you have a board meeting that is mostly silence and, you know, three people talking and other people saying like, okay, sure, I think we trust you on that, you do not have a good representative board. And if you you know, and what I've seen a couple of times is boards were like one, I'm sorry, did someone else say something? I just got back.
No, I'm sorry, I was saying, I completely agree.
Okay, cool. I didn't want to step on anyone else. Yeah, just I've seen boards where like 1 to 4 people have basically this side sort of secret group running most of events. Right? They don't run it by the rest of the board. They don't give that kind of space. But I've sat in a lot of board meetings over the last few years. We won't say where I have, you know, looked at the one other person of color, I say other, I am very white, where I have looked at the one person of color in the room because someone says something racist, and so you know the look you give each other in a professional setting where you go, do you want me to take this, or are we shutting our mouths on this? And I have gotten the, like, don't say anything, shake your head, because it would have come down harder on them if I had stepped in and talked about racism, because the whole room would have looked at them and said, what do you think? And then they would have had to choose to, like, speak out against themselves and, you know, alienate themselves from the board or choose to betray themselves and have to say, oh, no, Jay's totally wrong. That's not racist. I, as the one person of color in the room, declare you all not racist.
And then
so
that is terrible on you.
Can I just kind of piggyback off of that, Jay? This is Daylin.
Yeah.
How are you doing? So me and
I'm great.
Dez,
how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Me and Dez attended an open meeting at a local organization that throws Pride in Pittsburgh, one of their open
mm-hmm.
board meetings. And a similar situation happened. It was an open meeting. They only had, at this time, they had two people of color, one trans woman and one black closeted queen on their
older doctor type rich man. It was, yeah.
Yeah, he's very out of the touch with the community. He did not relate to what me and Dez were saying at all. He actually was shocked that there was still police violence on young black men. And for me, I feel like they pick people of color who that they can relate to the most or who is easy for them to handle versus actually
mm-hmm.
having someone who are wet in the community. That black trans woman
yes.
wasn't there at the meeting yet, but they were looking to this person for approval, like, oh, no, you're not racist. You guys are fabulous people. You're doing so much for the community. And me and Dad stood up and said, no, you all are fucked up individuals. And this is not how things go. You should not have this going on. You should not have that going on. And then they tried to silence us. They tried to silence these young black voices by saying, you're not on the program for the meeting, so you're going to have to, we're going to have to vote in order for you to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to vote.
Yeah, so
for
are the kinds
talk.
Of power structures
yeah,
that they
the
use all the time
to
silence
equality.
People.
Yes. These are the barriers to equality. You have these rich, privileged old people who are out of touch with the community that they're trying to outreach. Then you have that generational gap. Then you have young people like yourself and like the staff at True Tea who are out here doing the work, who know what's going on, who's actually in touch, who knows what could heal the community, and it's just the needs are just not being met because they want to fight over egos and privilege rather than actually getting their hands dirty. I am so
It sounds
yes.
like Congress. It sounds
if
just
you,
like Congress.
Oh, you want to, okay, let me say this. There is a particular board member somewhere that I have a recording of that the board itself made, the board made this recording. You know how President Trump this week said, I'm the president, I have total authority? This
yeah.
man got
yeah.
his finger
yeah.
out, pointed at me, said, I'm the president of the board, I'm in control of whatever I want to be in control of. It's that same mentality.
And it's ridiculous. And it's like, this is non-profit. What type of power are you tripping on to act this way?
Right. And if you, I think right now, I think this moment has, just like this virus has laid bare, like, who has, you know, who has food, who has housing, who has health care, who has safety right now. I think it's also demonstrated which of our nonprofits actually care about us. Go check every single queer nonprofit's Facebook page and tell me who has advertised the services of the people who have food, money, and housing. Because the people that care about us are telling us who has food for us and are telling us who has housing for us and are telling us who has, you know, medical resources for us. And the people
right.
who do not care are refuse to say the names of those organizations because they have personal vendettas against
yes.
people who have left.
Yes.
Yes. And can I just say that it's important to not only put a list of resources on your website, your face, your social media pages, but also give people instructions on how to navigate these things because we have so many
yes.
people in our community who have developed mental issues because of past trauma of being young and queer, and they need more than just
yes.
a piece of paper. They need to know hours. They need to know phone numbers. They need to have a contact person. They need to have an email. They need, you know, like, go above and beyond to make sure that needs are being met.
Yes, and
exactly.
let me just say, again, at Central Outreach, I just talked with them, and, you know, I was left uninsured after the job, and then I had some problems getting insurance on the exchange, and Central Outreach connected me with a case manager who, you know, I explained the situation. I was like, I don't know how to open a coverage window, and the case manager started talking about MOD, and I was like, I don't know what that is. Can you help me? And just, like, told me exactly what paperwork I need to get in order to apply for Medicaid for workers with a disability, which is MOD. But that's, I just didn't know it existed. I know, you know, I am a well-connected, you know, have a fair amount of privilege, whatever person, and I still just don't even know what's out there for me. So, yes, like we all need help navigating these systems, and every single queer nonprofit right now should be triaging everyone. Do you need food? Here's go to Q-Lane. Do you need cash? There is an assistance fund here. You know, do you need medical care or help getting insurance? Central Outreach has that. Like, if you go to mental health care, they should triage you for that. If you go to, you know, if you go to medical services, they should check if you need mental health services. Like, and I can't tell you, at least three or four people in the last week, and you all probably get this too, right? Is your inbox always full of people asking you? Because, like, you're kind of known as someone who. So, like, three to five of those folks in the last week have told me they're afraid to use one or another service because they think somewhere else where they're getting a service will be mad at them.
And
so someone will say, I'm afraid
to go. I'm so tired of that. We need to stop putting our places against each other. Personally, I've extended the olive branch to every organization in Pittsburgh except for Sisters. And at the end of the day, I'm working hard to make sure that people who come to me, I don't care if you just come to me for prep only and you still have a PPP. I don't care if you just come to me because you need food, but you go somewhere else for HRT. I don't care. As long as my people are getting what they need, we're not hurting for patients or money. We just want to help people. We are not in competition with anyone because if we were, we would be winning. And I am so tired of people trying to put their clients against us or trying to turn our clients against us.
Yes, and when I hear from a young black person, I'm sorry, my dog is also passionate about nonprofits, if you can hear him in the background. when I hear from a young teenage person of color with unstable housing, I'm afraid to get services from place X or place Z. I just want to scream, right? And it's not because, in my experience, it's not because the delivering programs don't have good relationships with other organizations. That is board-to-board conflict, generally speaking, or board-to-director conflict. And that's unacceptable. No white dude should be getting in the way of a young black teenager getting what they need.
And people hold these organizations accountable. I pick dates and times of interactions, and I know it. And I think that that needs to happen. I think that people need to be accountable. I think that people need to go to open board meetings at these organizations and voice their stories and their experiences. I make it my business to go to everyone, if I'm available, to everyone's open board meetings, and I make sure that I have a word there because no one's going to silence me.
Exactly.
Right.
No, this is very.
And I will.
This is very.
I will show up anywhere, anytime. So just call me. On Facebook.
No, Jay.
Period.
Jay, you've been a major supporter of ours, so we want to thank you. We also thank you for being on our board as well. So there is also that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
No. But you're definitely passionate about the work that you do, and it's not about you. You know, you do the work for the people, for the community, for the betterment of the world, and we thank you for that. Can you tell the people how they can contact you?
Support you in any way.
I'm sorry, I heard two things at once. Tell the people what?
How they can support you or if you got any projects coming up.
Oh, sure. Right now I'm supporting survivors of violence. I would just say, honestly, I still do sort of any kind of triage. So if people have questions about where to access services, you can contact me, and I will, you know, help you figure out, like, where is the place that you can get what you are looking for. I'm easy to reach on Facebook if you just Facebook friend Jay Yoder. And I don't know if you all can just, like, link to my Facebook page, but that's the easiest way to get in touch with me because, you know, Messenger on my phone.
Very good. And, yeah, we'll share your information on our Facebook page and on the group chat here on the blog. Jay, thank
awesome.
You so much for joining us. That was really, really a good conversation. Well, I didn't want to end it.
thank you. I'll talk to you all soon.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So we thank again Jay Yoder for joining us on the line. That was definitely a very insightful conversation. As mentioned in the interview, a lot of things happen behind the scenes here in the nonprofit sector, and it is disheartening, I guess, like, very much so. But all right, let's keep the flow going. We went a little bit over time, but we got a little bit of time left. Jay Lynn, we want to go ahead into our Real Housewives of Atlanta update.
All right. So this week I said that, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and try to break down every little moment of the show. I feel like that's a little long and a little draining. This week I'm going to use my platform on the True Tea Podcast to bash Candy Burris. I think that she is horrible. I think that she is horrible. First of all, when they sat down, Todd and Candy, to talk to Riley and whatever Todd's daughter's name is, to tell them that they were having another child because they had these eggs put away. Riley Burris told them, I don't think that you should have another child.
Is this Ace or an extra one? No.
They already have Riley and Ace at this point. This is an extra child. This is another child. They had two eggs frozen. They used one. Dr. Jackie hooked them up with a surrogate mother. So now, I know y'all, in past weeks, we talked about how Candy is pursuing this acting career, which I don't know why, because she's dry as cinnamon. She's pursuing this acting career, and there's a sex scene in the acting career. Her and Todd have all these conversations about the sex scene, blah, 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 blah. He's okay with it. Now, listen, she's going away for 10 weeks. As of last week's show, she's going away for 10 weeks to film. The baby is due in 7 weeks. But she's supposed to be gone for 10 weeks to film. Then, on last episode, which tore baby Ace, he got on the show for maybe 3 minutes on a FaceTime call where Todd FaceTimed Candy, and he's crying. He's bawling. There's tears everywhere. And he's like, Mommy, I miss Mommy. He's upset because she's been gone for weeks filming this He had a more interesting moment on the show than Eva Marcel has had all season. Those couple minutes that Ace was on there has been better than Eva all season. So
Girl, Candy and Todd need to stop, because at the end of the day, like, why is Todd tripping about this sex scene? Like, I don't get it. They got fucking money, boy. Why are you tripping? That is your wife.
Money does not solve everything. Some people have infidelity issues in their relationship, and it's triggering for them to see them laying, kissing, or doing other things with other people because they've actually had to deal with infidelity relationship. Money cannot cure insecurities.
That's a key, bitch.
And money also can help you raise these kids by yourself while Candy is on the road. She is so selfish. She's already filthy, super rich. And she keeps taking all these jobs being away from her kids, and Riley already told them that they cannot handle it. Now, on the last episode, they were sitting down talking about her schedule with this show. Top was fine with it. So she goes, I think that we should go to see a therapist because I've been getting on your nerves and you've been getting on my nerves. Todd comes back and says, yeah, I think that it's overdue. I do think that we need to go see a therapist because he was like, this is a lot. So girl, you sitting here, you're so busy taking on all these jobs and doing all these extra things, trying to make all this extra money that you don't need. You're already filthy, stinking rich. You have enough money for your kids to grow up rich. And you're doing this. You're not around for the kids. He's basically an at-home, stay-at-home mom, and he runs the whole old lady gang, gang business, which they have about 6 locations now. That's a lot. Like, he has business opportunities and business things going on now, too, and everyone has to sacrifice to make Candy happy. She's basically putting her career over her family, and I just think that that is so selfish because she's already super privileged. Now, the other person, the other donkey retard housewife of the day is Eva Marcel. Now, Nene.
I can't say Eva no more.
Oh, my gosh, she's so late. So, listen. All season, she's missed shows, she's missed this, she's missed that, which is really not her fault because she's pregnant. Okay, we all understand you're pregnant. Cool. But no one really notices when you're there and when you're not there. All the housewives did a tour where they did all these interviews. They were on different blog interviews. They were on different TV shows and different things. They were on Watch What Happens Live. Everyone but Nene. Nene did her interviews last out of everyone. Now, everyone read Nene all season. I don't know if you guys seen the recap of the trip from Greece where they were basically saying that Nene and Portia was fake for making up. They were saying this, they were saying that, they were talking about her hair. They did everything. Now that Nene's on tour, she's basically she keeps getting asked by all these different interviewers, if you could eliminate one housewife, who would you eliminate? So Nene has the same answer for all 6 of the interviews that I watched. She basically said, well, I wouldn't want to fire anyone because I love empowering black women, but I do think that Eva Marcel is the less contributing to the show, which is true. She's boring. You got married. Okay, you bought a house. Like okay, girl, next slide. You know what I'm saying? Like, girl, you're not really bringing nothing to the show. So
we actually
she's
have
also
the clip, being,
oh, play the clip real quick. Let's make it hot.
All right, here we go.
When the reunion does happen, believe you me, I will be walking in there, okay, with guns blazing. Trust me, they're going to tie their wigs down. I'm telling you, because I'm coming.
All right, Miss Leeks, thanks for joining us. We're calling these our quarantine diaries or quarantine confessionals while we're all trapped inside. How is life at home for you right now?
Everything is great at home for me, but, you know, I've gotten to know my house a whole lot better. Because I kind of treat my house like a hotel. You know, I'm in and I'm out because I travel 2 and 3 times a week, so I'm never really here. So now I know what my house needs and what it doesn't need now. So it's okay. Down to the kitchen.
Okay.
You still look quite glam for staying home.
Okay, so that was
sorry, I think it's actually the whole damn clip.
Okay, it's fine. That was just a small clip of one of her vlog interviews that she did on YouTube. If you just type in Nene Leeks, hashtag RHOA, you can see I think she's done about 6 interviews, including The Breakfast Club, including The Breakfast Club. All of those are very interesting interviews that you're going to want to watch. So let me just sum this up. They were basically asking her, what housewife would you bring back? She always says, I would bring back Kim Zolciak because she's an OG. I feel like she's good for the show. We work well together. We have a good relationship. Although we do butt heads when we work together, I do think that she would be great for the show. Now, Kim Zolciak and her have been going live on Instagram together, and now they're going live on YouTube together. Nene's show is called Conversations and Cocktails. She has a different guest host now every week. They were supposed to be doing another spinoff show with just Kim Zolciak and Nene called, like, Something on the Road or something like that. But Kim Zolciak ended up doing Don't Be Tardy for the Party because Nene had other bookings with her Broadway stuff and everything else. But I really think that they're going to do a spinoff with Nene Leeks and Kim. I just keep seeing them doing all different types of social media things together. Also, another thing that Nene has been saying in her interviews is that Phaedra would be good for the show. She feels like if Candy can go around saying that Kenya and Nene's feud and beef is good for the show, and she kind of keeps that rivalry going, why can't Phaedra come back to the show to solve her issues with Candy and let their beef and their drama be good for the show? I think that Candy is intimidated by Phaedra because Phaedra can read you into a box and not get violent. Every time Candy confronts someone on the show, she's damn near ready to fight. And that's one thing that they're trying to steer away from the show. Candy is very toxic. I can't believe that she's going around saying that she won't film with Phaedra. So it's been a lot of talks about Phaedra coming back between Nene, between Marlo, between Cynthia and other people saying they want Phaedra back. I'm really interested to see who's going to have a peach and who wouldn't have a peach. Tamar Braxton was a co-host on Conversations and Cocktails with Nene Leakes on Instagram. Nene and her were talking about doing a show, and Nene basically hinted, like, girl, if you came on the show, girl, you would have to have a peach. You couldn't be a girlfriend of the show. But I really see Phaedra coming back and being a girlfriend of the show.
Tamar
and
is...
And Kim having a peach and them dishing, dumping Eva Marcel off of the show. I want to know your guys' opinion. Thank you so much, Founder. I'm talking to my big old people. I'm sorry.
I am not here for Phaedra at all. Phaedra
what?
Is just so, yes, I just cannot take her. I cannot take the Kojic fakeness of Phaedra.
What?
But.
She has had the nastiest read of the Real Housewives history, honey.
I just can't take it. I just can't take her.
I'm off.
But
Phaedra
I think.
Back.
Huh?
No, I said I'm off for Phaedra coming back.
Are you?
Yes.
I mean,
I
it'll be definitely
Phaedra
cute. It'll definitely be cute. It'll definitely
what
be cute.
What about Kim? What about Kim Zolciak?
I cannot stand Kim. I'm not here for no white
yeah.
girl on this
wah,
show.
Wah, wah.
Oh, my God. She was one of the first people to film the pilot. Why wouldn't you want to see a white woman on the show? I think that it adds diversity. I also think that Kim
she's
is,
boring.
I think that Kim is the only bitch that has really gotten Kenya together the way that Kenya needs to be gotten together other than Nene. No shame. Marlo can't even really get with Kenya the way that Kim used to get with. Kim used to get with Kenya. She used to read Kenya.
I know.
With her little fake arranged marriage, her little fake-ass marriage with her fake weave, her fake hair products. Girl, I'm so tired of Kenya on that show. Girl, I think that this season has really showed Kenya's true colors, and it is really showing that she is really a part of the huge problem. I do think she's good for the show. I don't want to see her fire, but girl, she is toxic, and she needs to stop coming for the queen.
Okay.
Well, were you about to say something, Des?
No. Mm-mm.
No, well,
I'm good on
say, well, I guess that's a question for our listeners, and y'all can answer live in the True Tea Pittsburgh, True Tea Entertainment Facebook group. Would you like to see Phaedra or Kim Zolciak? Is that her last name? Zolciak?
Yes,
make their
we
return
should do a poll.
To Real Housewives.
Yeah, we should do a poll on our Instagram story. I mean, our social media stories and in the group.
Yes, we're on it tonight. Y'all answer live. Would you like to see Kim Zolciak or Kim Zolciak, however you say her name, or
Kim
Major Park
Barbara.
Return to the Real Housewives of Atlanta? Thank you, Taylor, for that insightful review and recap of the Real Housewives. I got to get these sound effects together at the end of the day. You need an intro and you need these clips. Blame it on me. That was all.
We're
going to
practice
myself.
Yes, we can practice
that was
next Wednesday.
All right. And we're going to keep the flow going. We got one more segment coming up next with Coley with our community check-in. Before then, I do want to remind you all, if you are a music artist local to the city of Pittsburgh identifying as LGBTQIA+, we want to celebrate you. Each week, we highlight one local artist and or feature one or two minutes of your music live on air. And the best part about all of this is that there's no fee to participate. If you or someone you know is interested, send over your copy of your MP3 audio to info@truth, that's true, the letter T, TGH.com. Also, if you have a story to tell, you're looking for a platform for your voice to be heard, you can contact us again at info@truth.pgh for your opportunity to join us live on air on Podcast True T. But all right, very well. We're going to go ahead and transition into our community health and wellness check-in with Coley. Give us the 411.
Hello, everybody. I wanted to share a few things with you all. It's going to be quick. The first thing, and it's huge, I need you all. If you are LGBTQ and you're living in Pennsylvania, I really need you to fill out the 2020 PA LGBTQ needs assessment. It's a survey. It should take you about 15 minutes. Of course, the usual, you're in a raffle for a gift card. Basically, it's a survey about our health needs. And if we do not complete this, if you don't complete the survey, you won't be counted. And it may not seem very big to you, but I mean for our entire community. So, for example, if we don't get a lot of youth responses on this survey, they might realize, okay, you know, we don't really need youth drop-in centers. We don't really need youth services because obviously there's no, you know, there's no young people to count. So if we don't count ourselves in and take the survey, you know, we're not going to be included when it comes to funding. And that's for everything. I've mentioned drop-in centers, but I mean hospitals. I mean if you're considering, like, fertility treatments, if you are thinking about surgery or therapy, all of that, any type of funding related to LGBTQ healthcare, you really want to take this needs assessment, make sure you're counted. Second piece. Sorry, that was a lot.
that was good information.
Still very good, but also I wanted to make sure everybody knew this, that there's telemedicine available for your medical marijuana certification. Green Leaves is the organization, and you're going to want to write this down. The number is 412-398-7777. Four sevens at the end. You can call them, you can message them to schedule, but you can get a telemedicine appointment if you have one of the 23 qualifying conditions, including anxiety, HIV positive, PTSD, chronic pain. There's a lot out there. Make sure you get what you need to get in order to maintain your distance. And those are the big things I have for you.
Very good. That was just a round of applause from my amazing co-host joining every week. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Before we close out today's episode, I do also want to add another local resource to that list of insightful things that Coley just shared with us, and that is the Social Justice Rapid Response Fund that is sponsored by New Voices Pittsburgh. The grant funds grassroots advocacy, mobilization, healing efforts, and for community educational groups that address racial, ethnic, gender identity, or economic inequities, emergency situations. So it has to be a project or something that's already in place and you don't have the funding for it and you just need it now, or also something that is impacting a community at large now and needs funding or attention now. You can apply at www.newvoicesrj.org/SJRRF. And I will share that as well in the True Tea group on Facebook. You are eligible for $1,000 without your 501c tax exemption status, and you are eligible for $2,500 with. So you can also use a fiscal agent as well to qualify you. So, yeah, we'll share that information online on Facebook at our True Tea Entertainment group. Again, I thank you all, my colorful co-hosts. You guys got anything to say before we close out? I should say you all.
No, I just really love the show, and I just want to say thank you to my co-hosts and everyone here for doing such an amazing job.
Yes, I really enjoyed tonight's talk, y'all.
Yes, and we miss you, Barbie. Barbie's traveling and unable to join us tonight, but Barbie will be back next week. So, again, we thank you all for listening to Podcast True Tea. Shout out again to Pittsburgh-based artist DJ Mitchell, the song you all heard at the top of the podcast. We hope you will join us again next week and each and every Thursday at 8 p.m. here on Block Talk Radio. Until then, we hope to talk to you in the True Tea Entertainment Group, and everybody have a blessed rest of the week. Sanitize your hands and stay 6 feet away.
And the gag is?
And the gag is, we're still
back again.